Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Who's the greatest cricketer on earth? On Mars? Anyone can tell you it's the great Sogar Ben Sobers. This handsome Barbadian lad really knows his work. Batting or bowling, he's the cricket king. No joke, three cheers for Captain Sobers. Win or lose the spectators are wrong ways, please. With the greatest team on earth, who else but the West Indies? Men like
you can call us at 434-1790. You can drop us a WhatsApp at 253-4679. Or, of course, an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought to you of the second test in St. Lucia. The game was supposed to start at 9:30. The weather good, sun out in all of its brilliance, and no cricket. He couldn't understand what was going on. And there was this talk about possible ball tampering. The Sri Lankans were saying, what are you talking about? And in fact, we spent about 2 hours before a ball was bowled. And this really put a damper on the test match. Now we're hearing today that after meeting, the captain of Sri Lanka's side, Dinesh Chandimal, has been banned for one test. Because of ball tampering. Sweetie, we call it in Barbados. You know those sweeties that we put in our pocket sometimes? Some of us do, of course. And we're going to look at that this evening on Mason and Guest. The implications, we're going to look back at it. Of course, we're going to get a balanced view. Of course, we're going to try and get some reaction from our friends in Sri Lanka who are here covering the series. And we're also going to hear from our panel. We've got some big men in the studio this evening. We'll introduce them to you in a minute or two. The other thing is that Kimo Paul joins the West Indies side and is replacing Shimon Hetma for one Guyanese to another. And there's some talk that Kimo Paul may very well play in Barbados. I'll certainly discuss that with you a little bit later on. And we can also confirm that for the test match that is upcoming today, like the historic test, that of course VOB will bring it to 104. The Beat will be bringing the commentaries, and I hope a little bit later on to talk about that. And we, of course, will have to look back at the second test match. But without any further ado, let me say a special hello to my good friend, Philo Alfonso Wallace. And he's got a gentleman beside him. Can you introduce the gentleman beside you, Philo?
Good evening, Andrew.
You know the gentleman beside you?
Yes, he used to be my teammate. We played against each other in Durham in the senior league.
Yes.
He's a very good dear friend of mine. Mm-hmm. It was he had another alias, One Day Maynard.
Yes.
No,
Big D.
Now he's captain. Patterson Thompson.
Hello, Patterson. Nice to see you.
In the afternoon.
What are you doing in Barbados?
Well, I'm here to see my mother and two sisters. But we are having a West Indies Retired Players Foundation T20 game on Thursday the 21st at the UWA Cahill campus in St. Michael. The foundation is, we're trying to bring awareness to the foundation and to the work that we're trying to do. The game's in much needed funds to carry out our mandate. So that's why Philo is here as well.
Philo?
Yes, Andrew. Yes, well, obviously, Patterson contacted me about 3 weeks ago to ask if I was available. Obviously, my exams are finished now.
Right.
So I said yes, and I will come up and help with the foundation to raise awareness, as he said, but also let former cricketers know that we are there for them. And we're coming to support them, and all that we try to do is for them. And then we get to their level. The younger guys will follow us. So it's an all-inclusive kind of foundation, and I want to thank Patterson for taking up the mantle. Mm-hmm. Today I came in with Dr. Nigel Camacho from Trinidad.
And wonderful.
We sat side by side, friendly at, and it was a very good discussion.
You can imagine.
Yeah,
good,
amazing. And I must tell you something before you interject, actually. I was in Trinidad and Tobago just a couple of days ago, and a Trinidadian came up to me and said, oh, I love you on the radio. radio.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Thank you very much indeed. Well, at least I've got one back. All right. Well, let's talk about Trinidadians. On the line, we've got Darren Ganga, Trinidad. You know him very well, of course. He's covering for television. He is very much involved with us to cover the test match. Hello to you, Darren. How are you?
Hi, Andrew, and good afternoon to everybody on your panel. And it's really good to be on your program.
Indeed. And, of course, you've got Phil O'Wallace. Do you know Phil O'Wallace?
Of course. My former roommate, my first tour in South Africa.
Was he a good roommate?
He was indeed. Now he is, I don't know if he's an honorary Trinidadian, I should say.
Yes. Yes. And Vic Patterson Thompson, you know him?
Of course. Mm-hmm. I've been the beneficiary of his services as a pilot in recent times, and I know he's contributing meaningfully to the West Indies Retired Players Foundation as well.
Indeed. Okay. Well, Brother, I'm not going to take up too much of your time because I know you're very, very busy there at the posh Hilton. In terms of this story that broke today, does this surprise you, Chandimal, getting a ban? We were certainly there in St. Lucia on the third morning. No cricket. It was supposed to start at 9:30. Does all this surprise you?
Not at all. I think, you know, when you look at the playing conditions and the ICC playing conditions, the rule and the clause there is quite explicit. I think what evidence was presented would have definitely brought conviction to the match referee and the umpires that there was an issue that needed to be dealt with. And I think the ICC, as per normal, they've dealt with that issue and made a ruling.
Indeed. But on that morning, the third morning, the Sri Lankans seemed to be quite upset. What were they upset about?
Well, I think it's maybe a matter of timing. The rule of thumb is if there is any evidence of you know, players trying to change the condition of the ball, usually it's dealt with at the end of the day's play. I think the information which was received by the umpires, they had to probably you know, address it that first morning. I think the information was only sort of given to the umpires on the morning of, I think it was day four, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And that is what prompted the Sri Lankans to react in the manner in which they did. And it delayed the start of play. But I think when you look at the law, and I wanted to make reference to it, it's really the ICC playing condition, which is clause 4.1.3. And it states, it is an offence for any player to take any action which changes the condition of the ball. And I think the evidence that the umpires and the match referee saw the morning of the 4 days play led to the series of events which took place. The Sri Lankans, obviously and naturally, as you would expect, they would have represented a point of view. And quite rightly so. It's their captain, it's their leader, and whether he did it in a naive manner, that is not the real issue. The issue is there's a clause which is pretty explicit, and if there's evidence in the umpire's opinion, the match referee's opinion, that it contradicts that particular clause, then the ICC must act, and I think that is exactly what they did. They have suspended Dinesh Chandimal for the third test match. I think he was fined his entire match fee, the second test match. And I think even the coach and the manager for the Sri Lankan team, they have been reprimanded as well.
Indeed. But Chandimal was saying he didn't know what he was sucking.
Well, like I say, you know, these are new sort of guidelines. Which players, when you think about it from a player's perspective, you're playing a game of cricket, you don't really have that at the forefront of your mind. And you can understand from a player's perspective, a player not being aware and falling into this sort of situation. It's very unfortunate that Dinesh Chandimal has to go through this type of sanction on education for all players, you know, in terms of how they behave, how they respond, and things that they do on the periphery of the actual cricket itself. The game has changed. We've known that, and, you know, it will continue to change. And I think more emphasis has to be placed on educating players with the code of conduct required by players and how they should act in situations that they're probably, you know, at lower levels not accustomed to.
Hi, good night, Darren. Did anyone on the commentary team, on television, or on radio, did anyone notice the infraction?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we were quite aware of the image that we saw. I think, you know, beyond what we see, we don't really have the influence of sharing the information. I think, you know, what we see is exactly what the viewers see to a large extent.
What did you see, Darren?
Well, it was basically, you know, a clip where Dinesh Chandimal, in his walk to return the ball to the bowler, you saw his left hand going to his pocket, pick something out of his pocket, put it into his mouth, and then immediately, you know, he was using his saliva to apply, you know, a little bit of moisture on the ball for shining purposes, and that in my own words is what is sort of reflective of the image that I saw. And you know, the match referee and the umpires would have been privy to every single camera angle, which the production team would have had, and they would have done their investigations, and I'm sure they would have been guided by the images seen.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Ganga. First of all,
hi.
Do you foresee going down the road in terms of cricket something as innocent as chewing gum, where we have seen over the years players who could not survive on the outfield without gum in their mouth? I mean, we look at Viv Richards, for example, of past eras. Also, what is coming to mind is things like sports drinks. There are times when fast bowlers, for example, will be on the boundary and the emergency fielders will pass to them rather than brand names of sports drinks. And to get technical, that is something that will be in a player's mouth as well. And it may very well alter the composition of what is coming out of his mouth at the time when he applies to life with a shiny ball. I'm not sure of all the technicalities of the rules and regulations. So I'll be guided by the ICC in this regard.
Yeah, I think just to build upon your point, it's definitely, I would say, a new area of playing conditions for players and everyone alike. In this particular instance, as you know, there are laws of the game, and then there are ICC playing conditions, and that is why I alluded to clause 41.3, which speaks directly to the match ball and changing its condition. I would have articulated one sub clause under that main clause, which spoke about the offence of a player taking action which changes the condition of the ball. I think the umpires, they still, you know, hold control of the game, and it's their duty to make irregular inspections of the ball. And if they suspect anything, they are sort of mandated to act. Probably this is something that most test playing or all test playing nations will have to pay particular attention to. Like I say, every single situation is a unique situation. You just alluded to the sports drinks being used on the boundary line. If that is seen by umpires to be used by players to alter the condition of the ball, then by all means, they're inclined to act. But again, I think, like I said before, there must be an education process that is happening concurrent to the application of the law. And I think Cricket West Indies, I mean, they have a responsibility to ensure that players at all levels are slowly educated on these playing conditions and the code of conduct required by players, so that they don't fall into these situations and unique situations, whether it's naive or intended, We saw the situation with the Australians and how that impacted Cricket Australia and cricket in Australia as a whole, with an intentional and deliberate act on the part of a certain few players who would have attempted to alter the condition of the ball for their own purposes. So it's a real issue, and I think the game and the governing body for the game needs to try and regulate how players act and how they operate, and I guess this is in keeping with that entire thrust from the ICC.
Well, Patterson Thompson wants to respond, but just before you respond, Patterson, let me say, of course, there's balance to the show. Russell Arnold, the former Sri Lanka cricketer, is on the line. Hello, Russell, good evening to you.
Evening, everyone.
Good evening to you. Welcome to Barbados.
Cheers, thank you.
All right, your reaction to this whole business, ball tampering, your captain has had a situation where the test match is in Barbados, he's not going to be playing. Are you surprised by all of this?
No, not at all. As far as I'm concerned, it's straightforward with what the match referee, Jawgal Sri, did see. I think he has to ask the question. From Dinesh Chandimal's point of view, well, of course, he said he's not been thinking so at that particular stage, but at the end of the day, it's a situation where he shouldn't have put himself into, because it's known, and I'm pretty sure that this has been spoken about quite a lot, that when it comes to shining the ball or maintaining the ball or whatever, the players should not be using any artificial substance. And also, to take it a step further, if there is any mud or soil, we know pieces of the leather hang off at certain times. Mm-hmm. Players are not supposed to take them off or attend to it themselves, rather than taking it to the umpires. A ball hit into the stands comes back with a few scars. So straight away, the umpires look at it to make note of what changes happened. And we've seen it for quite a while, but people seem to be forgetting it. And if you put yourself in such a situation, I reckon this is the outcome.
Patterson?
I just wanted to agree with Darren to the point where the intent of the player to actually change the characteristics of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So if what Darren related to means that he took this substance out of his pocket, put it into his mouth, and then use the saliva to shine the ball, which shows the intent of the individual. So I think there are times when a player may have chewing gum in his mouth and he may use the saliva, but it doesn't mean that he intended to, because of the chewing gum, change the characteristics of the ball. So we have to make sure that the intent is a bad one. So this is where we have to scrutinize these shots, the various shots of players when they're shining the ball, to make sure we're not accusing somebody of something of a wrongdoing, which is not what's happening.
Indeed. Afedop, your take on it?
Well, good evening, Russell, and welcome to Barbados. I think that when you look at this whole situation with Chandimal, it's depressing, actually, because ICC has just dealt with a similar situation, mind you, with sandpaper in South Africa. And Dinesh Chandimal should be very much aware of that situation and try not to bring the game into disrepute in any form or fashion.
Mm.
And I agree with Darren and Patterson, because the intention has to be proved.
Mm.
Now, if Chandimal was honest enough to say, look, yes, I had some, obviously sweets in my mouth, and I did not intend it to alter the condition of the ball, I think Jawgal Sri, being the gentleman that he is, would have been a bit more lenient. But he said he can't remember what he had in his mouth.
Mm.
How can you cannot remember what you ate or what you suck or what you drink on a cricket field? That is strange.
Very
so
strange.
There's some kind of imbalance, and he has paid the price. And ICC is trying hard to stamp up this kind of behavior.
Mm.
So he has just cost Sri Lanka 229 runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he has in the series so far. Mm-hmm. And he just, because he's not going to play.
No.
So Sri Lanka is going to be at a disadvantage because of his ill thinking.
His captain and their leading batsman as well.
And they just lost Angelo Matthews.
Yeah, they did. Russell, do you think that he's in trouble back home as well? Do you think he'll hold on to the captaincy?
Oh, no, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's too early to say what exactly is going on. Now, what Chandimal is saying, but he was not sure what he had in his pocket is, fellow, you guys know, even at drinks, snakes and all sorts of things are brought out. So we tend to put stuff in our pockets and then chew it as we go on. Sometimes it's just for boredom, sometimes just to have some taste, sometimes, you know, it just happens. I'm sure you guys have done that as well. So that's kind of what he's meaning by he doesn't know. He cannot tell you exactly what it was. But the bottom line is he should, no one, I mean, going forward, no player should be putting themselves in such a situation and leaving room for argument to even determine whether it was deliberate or just naivety. You shouldn't. It's simple as that.
Well, but your gut feeling, though, knowing the Sri Lankan people, have you heard any reaction from Sri Lanka? You think he could be in big trouble? I rather suspect he will be.
It's too early to comment as well. There are a few other things that need to be considered. Mm-hmm. You look at this particular scenario on its own. Yes, that's what it is. But for the Sri Lankans to feel aggrieved, there are reasons. Mm-hmm. And it's totally not related to this. They kind of feel that throughout the test match, they were being followed, and every other ball, if the ball's being looked at, they were just being out to get them. So it's kind of being pushed into a corner, and no one likes to be in that situation. So what happens behind closed doors, what exactly happened, the reasons for guys being disappointed and reacting that way, well, we can only speculate. So we'll have to wait and see what comes out of it. It's too early to say anything.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to let you go. Just a final question. Let's go back to Darren. Of course, let's look at that test match, second test match. You think the West Indies were saved by the rain?
Well, I think yes, to some extent. I felt that the Windies had an opportunity to probably dominate a little bit more in that particular test match. They're letting off of Dinesh Chandimal when they batted first was, to me, a crucial point which allowed them to get a par total on a very sporty sort of surface batting the first time around. I'm still quite impressed with the resilience and the resistance shown by the West Indian players overall. I think their batting effort to get a total in excess of 300, well, it was exactly 300 the first time around, offered them the opportunity of a lead. And with the type of start that they got, it was important for them to press the initiative. Still, I think overall, the West Indies will be happy with the result and the draw coming to Barbados for this last test match. I would like to see a little more aggression on the part of Jason Holder. I think, you know, although he is still very young to leadership and captaincy at the international level, mm-hmm. I really would like to see more creativity from him, you know, for him to follow his gut instinct a little bit more and to be unorthodox in his approach at times. This might...
Darren, do you think he's too defensive as a captain?
Yeah, I think he's too conservative, I think. That's the word I think describes him. Mm-hmm. There's a certain amount of sameness to every single situation. And I think, you know, captaincy allows you as a leader to be innovative, to follow instincts sometimes. And mm-hmm. and for you personally, to manage the way you influence the game with your decision-making, mm-hmm. whether it is by soliciting advice from other persons or you leading that from the forefront on your own accord. At times he's been, I would say, defensive. At times when you expect that he can be more attacking, he's not been more attacking. And that is, to me, the essence of that has to do with reading the situation of the game. Whether it is he needs assistance from his senior players or maybe support from the technical team, that is an area I think he will have to improve on, and maybe
if more of that type of aggressive approach is adopted with his captaincy, the result may just be better than what it is right now.
Well, thanks to you, Darren, for coming through. We got one final question just before we go to the break quickly. I know Russell, you've got to rush off. You reckon that the West Indies were saved by the rain?
We all know that.
You're saved by 2 hours of
preparation. Yeah. That's a fair comment. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Sri Lankans also have themselves to blame. Maybe could have declared earlier. But from how the game panned out and when it went into that last day and towards the last few sessions, well, we just got to look at that point at that stage, and yes, the headline should have read that.
And finally, hurrah for me, you didn't play in the second test. Is this the end of the line for your great left-arm orthodox spinner? He's now been dropped.
He is 40. He's slowing down. His knees, their wear and tear. His arm speed is slowing down. And that's why Sri Lanka came out here with the plan of only playing him in two test matches. Mm-hmm. He tends to bowl lots of overs. It was a case of deciding which two. So that's where it is. The next few test matches are in Sri Lankan conditions where he'll be a lot more comfortable with. So I see him playing those two against South Africa and England. And then I think it's up to him to really assess how he feels about it.
Well, thank you very much, Russell, for coming through and enjoy a great country.
Cheers, man.
All right. All the best. Russell Arnold, of course, the former Sri Lanka player. We also heard from Darren Ganga. We're going to get your reaction, 4341790. Well,
Lottery Agents Island Wide. For details.
Were we saved by the rain, Philo?
I'm not sure, to be honest, I have confidence in Vindis. Mm-hmm. I said it before, I have confidence in them to win the series. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the pitch in St. Lucia, Andrew. Mm-hmm. From all the hype that we talk about in St. Lucia, mm-hmm. I was very disappointed. I thought the uneven bounce came too early, mm-hmm. Unlike what happened in Trinidad.
Even I agree.
I thought it would have been a better cricket pitch than what they produced there, but obviously they will get better as time go on. I think that how we look at how it sets that second test match is that West Indies found themselves wanting. Mm. And they show character. And don't forget, Sri Lanka is number 6 in the world.
Right.
And that is what Sri Lanka is expected to do of West Indies, to keep them under pressure. And we have to commend Craig Bradford for his durability. He really fought hard, and his technique is not perfect, but the way he just can soak up so many balls and not score is unbelievable. Mm. And that is something that I think he's good at, but I still believe he can be a bit more freer in square runs, because he chipped down the pitch and hit the off spin over. Right. Why can't you do that more often and take the pressure off yourself and the team? Mm. But I thought it was a very good test match. Mm. The 2 hours that they deliberated with the ball could have gone either way. So I think that West Indies felt within themselves confident enough to battle that entire day.
Patterson, were we saved by the rain?
No, I tend to agree with Phil as well. I think that
you think we just saved it?
Yes, I think Jason Porter and Craig Bradford, they would have batted a lot of overs, and I think the fight is in them now. I also think having won the first test in Trinidad, the incentive to save this game would have been great, because if they can go into Barbados and draw, they'll win the test series. Mm-hmm. So they have gotten over this hurdle in St. Lucia, and I think that they would have held on. I don't think the rain saved it.
What about the pitch?
We all heard that St. Lucia is the best paying service in the Caribbean now. It's been limited to the type. So let's see what Kensington can do for us.
Yeah. Your assessment of the Trinidad pitch, Philo, you were there?
Well, I played on Sunday, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, it was a nice pitch.
Did you get run?
Andrew, no. The umpire is bad.
Okay.
But no. I'm very impressed with that surface at Queen's Park. Mm-hmm. I had a long chat with Brian Davis on Sunday night after the game as well.
Right.
And he said that is the standard that they were to maintain. No grass will come off of that surface at all when you're playing 2 day, 3 day, 1 day, 4 day, 5 day. He's going to allow that grass to come through. Mm-hmm. And the groundsman knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He has the soil and sand and water and grass content down to perfection. Mm-hmm. And he just prepared. They played a game on Sunday, a 30-over game, and the ball was bouncing by the head for over 30 cricket.
Yeah,
in Trinidad.
It's still consistent.
At Queen's Park Oval.
Can you imagine? You never liked about Queen's Park Oval, did you?
I did play too many games.
No?
It didn't really assist the fast.
No, he's a good person.
I see.
Yeah, well, in terms of the vaccinated, being safe with Iran, my position is that when it comes to cricket, I don't predict it, especially in terms of West Indies cricket from what we've seen in recent years. And when we say recent, sometimes we think of recent with respect to West Indies, like 10 years and so on. Mm-hmm. But what is disappointing is that West Indian batsmen, this current crop, are still flinching from medium pace bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole world has seen that, and I don't think that they're going to ease us in any way. I believe that all teams that we're playing against will try to utilize that particular ploy to make our batsmen uncomfortable, mm-hmm. albeit that the pitch in St. Lucia was a bit uneven. But that is something that we need to work on. I don't know how on earth we're going to do it if we don't get pitches like what you all are describing is the current condition in Trinidad, where there is giving the bowlers assistance and you can play your shots, and it is a 50-50 pitch. But a lot of the pitches in the Caribbean are very flat, even at the domestic level. And so the hook and the cut now are extinct in terms of shots.
Mm.
And medium pace bowling, I mean, I you could imagine the Patterson Thompson bowling to these West Indian batsmen, say 15 years ago. I mean, I'd be scared to watch them back. Mm. You know, because these are medium pierces that they're flinching from. And let's be real, we call it spirit of spirit. These are not fast bowlers in the true sense of the word.
Mm.
And that concerns me, because we are talking about batting, and you're not going to get slow bowlers all over the world opening the bowling. You're going to start with medium, fast medium, and above.
Mm.
And that is something we need to work on. The whole world has seen what happened in New Zealand, albeit New Zealand pitches would have been conducive to that kind of bumps and lifts and so on, but the technique does not lend itself to surviving against good quality short pitch bowling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go now and talk to Stephen Leslie, Director of Cricket. Of course, you've got a big test match coming up in Barbados, starting on Saturday, the historic day and night test. Hello, Stephen. Good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening, Andrew. I'm doing very well.
Are you at Kensington Oval preparing?
I'm actually heading back there shortly. We are doing some mic testing before the inaugural day light test, so I'll be there in probably about 20 minutes or so.
Well, I hope the lights are good, because in recent times they've not been. You're fully up to speed with your lights, Stephen?
Well, in terms of the lighting issue, that is something that is an ongoing process. You will be aware that Kensington Oval Management 8 is responsible for the manager of the infrastructure at Kensington, so we basically make requests through that entity to try to deliver a high quality stadium, and lighting is part of the stadium. So we're working really closely to making sure that we deliver a good product, and the 5-day test match will be one that everyone can remember favorably.
But you don't have a problem with the lights, though, do you? I hope you don't have any problems come Saturday.
From a technical perspective, everybody is fairly confident that we will be able to deliver. We host night matches, as you know, in Barbados, at Kensington Oval, in our local competition. So as it stands right now, we don't have too much of a concern.
Mm-hmm.
But the realities are that there are some international standards that have to be met. A local cricket game is different to to an international game. But we're working assiduously, and as I said, I'll be heading back there to see how we're progressing, and hopefully come Saturday night and for the full duration of a test match, that we've got high quality lighting and a good pitch, which is really critical to what we want to produce at Kensington Oval.
Mm. Well, I hope all the lights are working, Stephen, because you know we've not been having that situation. I hope that things work well. You meet with Comey and solve this problem, because we can't have the reasons Mecca having lights at another standard.
Yep, totally agree. We have some outages in CPL 2017. We will press our concerns with those challenges. We had a couple of outages back in 2016 and 15, but we are working, as I said, it's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
And when you build CADF, and we did a lot of that back in 2007, you've got to maintain them, you've got to do due diligence, you've got to be consistent in what you're doing. And as I said, we actually have an arrangement now that we engage Comey. It is not a situation where the Barbados Cricket Association is responsible for Kensington's overall thing. So we work with the reality, and we'll hopefully have a good test match come 23rd June.
Stephen, Phil Wallace here. Good evening. Nice to hear you. I hope I'll see you on Saturday. My biggest beef is going to be that surface, because it's a pink ball. We know that the pink ball is not as conducive to
a deterioration like the red ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw in Australia what they did with their day and night test matches. They allow a bit more grass
mm-hmm.
on the surface. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know from your point of view, well, obviously the preparation, if there'll be grass on if there'll be a bit more grass on the surface because of the pink ball.
Yes, Philo, we were very deliberate in making sure that there's more than adequate covering of grass. Richard Poff Edwards has overall management responsibility. He's mm-hmm. the head curator. Andy Davis will basically work with him very closely. And we do have a very nice covering of grass. I was there this morning from about 7 a.m. after the rains that we had in Barbados on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks very good. I think a person like yourself who captain Barbados and also played international cricket will be very pleased with the coverage and of grass. But my information from the S-Works is that it will not only have a good coverage of grass, but we should see a traditional Kevin the pitch with some nice bumps and really persons can get value for their shots. Now, if you bend your back, you're going to get something over the pitch. So we hope to have a very good test match surface and hopefully a result in West Indies.
Because I said this, Stephen, I covered the first test match in Trinidad at the Queen's Park Oval, and that reminded me of the old Kensington pitch where
mm-hmm.
the ball bounced and carried for 5 days and you could have actually played 8 days of cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the BCA needs a little help, you know, you can obviously reach out to Trinidad and Tobago because I think the guy there is wonderful. I'm not taking anything from Mr. Edwards or Andy Davis,
mm-hmm.
but I think that we have a reputation in Barbados to protect. Now, mm-hmm. Indies cricket relies on pace and bouncy wickets. We saw it in Trinidad and Tobago. And we have a guy called Shannon Gabriel who is getting better and better. And we have to encourage these youngsters to bowl fast or even faster and keep the younger cricketers coming through to want to become fast bowlers and emulate what we have now. So I think that it is very important that that surface produces the type of cricket that we expect from a Kensington Oval pitch. And the crowd, I hope the crowd will come and support as well this historic test match.
Well, comment very quickly on the willingness to accept any expertise. I mean, if we're in the Caribbean and we don't want to be able to share ideas and expertise, we're really wasting our time. Whether it comes from, as you suggested, Trinidad, or it comes from any other entity, the BC is really committed to getting quality pitches, quality stadiums. So we will do whatever is required. As it relates to the actual spectatorship, I'll say this for a while, and I say this unreservedly. I think that the pricing currently, which is at $40 per day.
Mm-hmm. So $40 per day? Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Greenwich and Haines Lower Stand, that is $40. That's the most economical per day.
Right.
The most expensive, which will be the 3W's lower level, that's $50 per day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those prices could have been a little bit more economical. I've expressed this at the end of the day, CWA would have made their determination after reviewing our recommendations. So we are going for those prices. For the average working class Barbadian or the average working class Caribbean man, it's going to be a bit challenging. But I believe that what will happen to law,
mm-hmm.
I know we have a membership arrangement. Some 780 persons are members of seating, I should say,
mm-hmm.
are available at Kensington. And from that group, we do have a percentage of those who are financial. So there will be persons in the stadium. We will not see what we witnessed in the first two tests.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is having persons who are outside of that arrangement, a person who wants to bring their family, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
at the stadium. Those prices, I think, are a little bit challenging over 5 years.
Okay.
Well, in Trinidad, that's interesting you said that. I know that Dr. Ford, okay. Opalison, you want to comment on something before I come in?
Yes.
Hey, Stephen, Pato here. Thanks. Thank you very much for the BCA's assistance and your help in particular with our foundation game on Thursday. I am really thankful to you. But I have a question regards Cricket West Indies input in pitches. I was under the impression that Cricket West Indies had a head curator who would go around and check the standards of wicket. Is that accurate or?
Yes, Philo, it is a situation. Mr. King Crofton would come to each of the respective venues. I actually saw him here in Barbados this morning. But what he generally does, from my observations of the last few years, is that he would offer his input to what the local person is actually managing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a template that was established a few years ago, which the Kensington Oval, and I assume all the other stadiums were trying to try their best to manage. You know, the clears are different in terms of the different territories, et cetera. But what Mr. Crofton does, he will come, he will review what you are actually doing in terms of your match preparation, your maintenance of the square, your grass coverage, and then he would offer advice. Now, you would appreciate with a Tesla starting staff there, Mr. Crofton would have probably been in both Trinidad and St. Lucia at some point, and he's now here. So he's offering what he can, but really it's the local person who drives the preparation, who drives the management of the pitch on the square, and Crofton really acts in an oversight capacity.
Okay, thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, interesting. I just want to get back to you though, Stephen, in relation to prices, because it's pretty clear to me that you're unhappy.
I'm not here for my professional advice. I'm not at all unhappy, Andrew.
Aren't you saying that you would prefer them to be lower than 50 and 40? That's what I got from what you were saying.
Yeah, I'd be very clear, Andrew. I would have offered as part of a team, the start of a team in Barbados. I made some suggestions based on our current economic climate, based on the fact that most working class persons attend cricket. And we express our professional opinion, but Andrew, respectfully, it's a CWA's tournament, and they will make the final determination. So it is not a case of being unhappy. It's a case of really trying to bring the best balance to an event, because cricket is an event. You've got those 22 men competing over 5 days in this case. But you still want to be assured that spectators are part of the experience. And I think that what I saw in the first two tests, and it's a global challenge, and the most serious of challenges now with the stadia being filled, also probably the Ashes or maybe an Australia versus South Africa series. So these are things that are happening, but the realities are in Barbados right now. We would have suggested that we think that those daily rates were a little bit too high, and CWA made the decision of you're going to do the best to make sure we have a great event over the 5 days, and hopefully you and the others who will be probably accessing the stadia before having to pay would encourage some people to be able to come down and be part of the event.
Well, I'll tell you, in St. Lucia, Respirer was making the point that he felt that rather than charge 40 EC dollars, that the board could have maybe look at maybe 25 or even 20 and get people to come in to the ground. And I certainly want to appeal to Cricket West Indies to bring the prices down. You know, it makes no sense charging $50 and $60 and $40 and not get people come to cricket. So I'm saying to them,
the prices are between 40 and 50. So
yeah, but they need to bring the prices down. They need to bring the prices down, get people coming to the ground. You agree with Dr. Ford?
Yeah, certainly we would like to see a better spectacle with our fans watching it was watching the derelict stands during the test. It didn't take away from the good work that was being done on the field, but we would like some atmosphere. And that's what made West Indian cricket so special, the crowd and that atmosphere that was at the event.
Indeed.
I will wish to be clear that I expect that certainly to be as one and two. Mm-hmm. The Barbadian demographic, despite the pricing, that you have members who will come out, persons who are 60 plus are admitted free. Kids 12 and under, with an adult, they access the venue. We are also aggressively engaging some of the primary and secondary schools. So the stadium at Kensington over Saturday and Sunday, we should have a reasonable group. My general view and the view of those who are part of the team is that you want to be able to encourage over the 5 year period, because if you do the intriguing text match, the intrigue 1-5, really define the text. And maybe first it's the low and battle. Who played at the international level know that you can get 2 days, one or two, but then 3 days four really will determine the outcome. And that is what I would wish to have, at the BCA, where people can be there to dictate if there's a tight battle, for the victory. So as it stands right now, Cricket West Indies can make any adjustment at any point. At the moment, it's 40 Barbados. Or 50 Barbados, really.
So just before you go, 40... Barbados, this is for the Greenwich and Haines stand, am I right?
Greenwich and Haines lower is 40 Barbados.
Right.
45 per day, 40 Hall and Griffith upper.
Hall and Griffith?
And yes, and then there's the Greenwich and Haines upper as well, goes to 45 Barbados per day. Mm. And then 50 Barbados per day would be the 3W's lower level.
What about the other stand? What about the uncovered stand? Is that going to be open?
I know. We will not be operating the uncovered stand, as we call it, the party stand, for this test match, and they will just be those three stands that I just mentioned: Greenwich and Haines, 3W's, and the Hall and Griffith.
How are the sales going so far? Good.
Well, we originally started the ticket office opening on Friday, which is just about 3 or 4 days ago. There's a company that Cricket West Indies have engaged in the last 3 years who will be responsible for that. So we started last Friday. So at the moment, the sales are relatively slow. But again, today is the 20th of June. Most people get paid in another 3 to 4 days. So you do expect a pickup in terms of people coming to have their tickets purchased for the test. I mean, expect a decent sell, as I say, to witness the test match, certainly on Saturday and Sunday.
Stephen, would you have wanted the office to be open earlier, ticket office?
Again, that would be a deal, but recognize to CWA, by engaging this company, they would have to set up their own timetable. But ideally, you want a ticket office open at least 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before the event. But as it stands, we started a few years ago, and we have to work with that reality.
And finally, before you go, in terms of promotion, are you happy with the promotion? As they were saying, Caribbean Pralance, do we have ads back and down on the radio or come to Kensington Oval?
I have heard some ads running on most of the radio stations starting yesterday. So that in itself is something that would be part of the marketing promotion. And certainly at the ABCA, we are going to assist where we can in terms of our website, et cetera. It's a CWA event, so they have their marketing and promotion team, and they believe that they would have been very clinical in terms of what they wanted to do, and they chose to start the radio, as I said yesterday, and people will be hearing it, but hopefully people will be aware of it, and we encourage everyone to come up to that 3 o'clock start come June 23rd at Kensington Oval.
Stephen, Ken Crafton is on the line, of course, he's in Barbados, and we will want to ask him, first of all, about the pitch at Kensington. Ken, by the way, when did you come to Barbados? Good evening to you, first of all.
Yeah, good evening, Andrew, and good evening to listeners.
When did you come to Barbados?
I flew yesterday.
Oh. So you didn't have anything to do with the preparation of the pitch before then?
Well, not directly, but indirectly. I was in touch with the guys who I speak with, who I think have done a wonderful job. I'm happy with the inclusion of Prof. Edwards at Kensington Oval. I think he has done well. And Winston Reid and Henderson Davis, I think they have all teamed up together and give us a very good good looking surface that looks really, really, really promising.
I just want to, before Fano comes up, what is your role exactly? What is your role in West Indies cricket? I want to be absolutely sure.
Okay, my title is Regional Tourism. And basically, I would come to the venue to oversee the preparation of the pitches.
Okay.
We would have had our set programs. I'd have done maybe a pre tournament visit where I would recognize any faults and prepare recommendations and then follow up on those things. And our major thing has been the level of maintenance we do to those quiz around the region.
Hi, Ken. Welcome to Barbados. Fennel here. Well, I watched the test match on television from St. Lucia at the Dharamsami Stadium.
Yes.
I was not happy with the surface. I thought a couple of years ago it was a better test match surface. I thought it deteriorated a little too quickly for St. Lucia standards. Something went wrong in preparation or, you know, maybe not enough time?
Well, I can tell you, Philo, we do have issues in some venues in getting what we want on time to do what we have to do. And this is one of the issues we had at Dharamsami. In fact, we're running about 3 weeks behind where we were supposed to be leading up to preparation.
So what are some of these issues, Ken?
The programs would be set up, and when we need the resources, like we need material, we need equipment, those things were not always available on time.
With Mr. Crafton Pearson, I'm interested in your point where you said that you do a preliminary visit to the venues that are allocated international games, right? And you look at what is not going well, what is going well, you recommend adjustments. Seeing that there's an elapsed time between when you visit and then when the preparatory work for the pitch starts, and when you next visit, which is like 2 or 3 days or like whenever just before the national event, how do you ensure
that your recommendations are carried out, and how do you see them? How does the visual aspect of that come into play? That's what I'm interested in. I mean, you can tell anyone or recommend something to anyone. How do you visually ensure that that is done?
Good question.
Okay. The thing is that we do have individual curators at each of the venues. And up to in December last year, we had a curators workshop where we brought all those curators together and discussed all those different operations. So basically, me coming around would be to reinforce, to guide, to help through the process.
But Mr. Kraft, sorry to interject, but that's at a global level. I'm looking at the direct impact on a specific game. Let me go through them again, right? You visit, you do a preliminary visit. So you have line of sight of the pitch. You are seeing it. You are physically there.
Right.
Right? Am I right?
Yes, correct.
Right. You may look at something that needs to be adjusted. You're not happy with something. You're not happy with the grass. You're not happy with the gradient of the pitch. Whatever. You make recommendations. You go back to your home base. A match is coming up. You visit a couple of days before the event. How do you, by way of your visual, the visual aspect of your work, how do you ensure that the corrective measures that you recommended have been carried out and to your satisfaction?
Okay, there is absolutely no way of being 100% sure. What I said before was that we had those curators through training, and we have to give them a certain level of responsibility. And of course, I would do an operation, I would clarify if it's a cut top dress differently to somebody else. They would say, yes, they did do it, but the quality and how they do it might be different, you know, all over the place. So yes, there is a big level of responsibility that the individual territories or curators need to hold. And for sure, I cannot be everywhere, you know, when I actually have to be.
Can just stay on the line. Of course, Stephen Led would have heard all of this. Stephen, final question to you. I know you got to go off to ensure that everything is good there. Have a look at the lights and Kenton, et cetera, et cetera. What do you have to say to Bajans finally tonight in relation to coming to the test match starting on Saturday?
Yeah, just encourage everyone to be part of the experience. We've got a young team at the moment. It has a leader who is really trying to mold a group that would want to bring back pride to their Indies cricket. And the fact that Barbados has been given the opportunity to host the inaugural DNA test, pink ball test in the Caribbean, that we want Barbados to be part of that. I remember, for example, 2 years ago, the NCG officer was having his 80th birthday, and the stadium was filled, and everyone who attended that would say they were part of it. Everyone should be part of this experience that will be here at Kensington Oval, June 23rd to 27th, and they want Barbadians to bring their families, certainly the women to bring their children, and everyone to be part of what I believe will not just be a competitive test match, but a test match that will be able to really bring some pride back into what we do here at Kensington and do in Barbados in general.
And a final note on another matter quickly. I know you had a big, in relation to local cricket, now this should be of interest to a local audience. St. Catharines, YMPC, I know that your team would have left today. St. Catharines didn't like what was put out in relation to the decision of the Barbados Cricket Association. Can you give us a heads up? Has a final decision been taken?
A decision has been reached. I can say that there was an appeal of an original decision.
Right.
And within another 24 hours, we will communicate. I can assure Barbadians, certainly those who have been witnessing our T20 cricket, that we are going to have a situation where the semifinals, the game that is on dispute, that will be communicated. Mm-hmm. And that tournament will come to, hopefully, an amicable end very shortly. At this point, I think that the representation from both St. Catharines and YMPC was outstanding. I was told about not only what they communicated, but it was the way how they actually conduct themselves. It was very, very much noble. So we are going to have a decision released within 24 hours. And those people from St. Philip and also those people from Blackhurst Road will know what we're doing going forward as it relates to that game order dispute.
Okay, so we expect some action in 24 hours. Thanks, Stephen, for coming and talking to us. All right, Ken, stay on the line. We're going to have just one more question for you, but of course we have. Were you responsible for, in any way, the bumps at the Queen's Park Oval?
Okay. What I can see for sure at the Queen's Park Oval, the curator at Queen's Park Oval, he got excellent support from his authority, and he was able to put in much needed maintenance operations on the Queen's Park Oval Square that caused the transformation in terms of the result of the pitch.
Mm. And what do you think about his methods, Grafton?
The methods are similar. We have different soils around the region. We work with them. But there is nothing so different in terms of methods. We have a set concept in terms of pitch preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And we all use our fine skills to get it.
Because speaking to him in Trinidad and Tobago, Mano understands the surface. He knows what that soil requires. He knows the grass content. He knows the soil content, and he obviously puts the water into suit. And his duration time for preparing for a test match is perfect. Now he takes notes of what he's doing down there, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, I'm going to ask this, do the other curators around the region, do they take notes of how they prepare a pitch and keep these notes for future reference?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is something we have all encouraged. We have different levels of curators around the region.
Mm-hmm.
We have guys that were groundsmen and just were just slightly elevated to be head.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have those challenges. We keep on having those trainings. We keep on trying to improve the quality of our curators around the region. But it's something we all encourage. I mean, that's something we all do. We take note. We all, you know, understand our soil. We do a similar soil test to know what clay contents we have. So it's just a practice we all you know, do, and we all try our best sometimes.
My final question to you, Ken, what kind of pitch do you expect in this big test match coming up on Saturday?
Well, as I said earlier, I'm happy with before that was done. Some maintenance operations went into the preparation of the pitch at the Oval. We have a very good even grass cover, some strong grass, and I'm looking forward to a really nice cricket wicket at the Oval.
All right, thanks to you, Ken Grafton, for coming through and talking to us, and enjoy the rest of your evening. All right, thanks to you, Patterson. Are you still big on this cricket? I know that you're a pilot. I know that you spend a lot of time across the Caribbean. Have you lost interest? Are you still very interested in what's happening in West Indies cricket?
I'm still very interested in West Indies cricket. And I think the foundation, I'm trying to organize or create a platform where former cricketers like Philo, Desmond, even my good friends, Curtly Ambrose in Antigua, Kenny and Vincent Benjamin. I'm also going to try and encourage Ian Bishop. I want to get together and have a forum where these former cricketers could interact in a non-adversarial way with Cricket West Indies and talk about coaching selections.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pitches, we're kind of getting it there. I'm glad to see that people want to have grass on wickets once again. But we need to get these older players back involved in cricket, helping out the youngsters and creating that environment where they can say things to Cricket West Indies and be given the opportunity to express opinions and not be criticized. Criticism is part of it, but allow them to have this dialogue. I think that's missing. I would like some of our former players to be more involved at the grassroots levels and taking care of our cricketers. We also want to have more say at the senior level. But I also think what has caused the problem is a lot of our former cricketers do not have coaching skills, certificates up to whatever level is required by West Indies cricket.
Mm.
And I think that has taken them over the fray, which what we need to do is either you have a coaching certificate or equivalent experience, which allows them still to participate at a particular level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is why the foundation is quite important, the retired foundation, to have that dialogue set up between Cricket West Indies and these former players.
4341790. Of course, if you call, we will see this 1246. We want to say hello to all of our listeners in ABS in Antigua Vibes in Dominica, Ray Finn in Grenada, and of course the Wave and W Vent that would carry the cricket in St. Lucia. We welcome you live. Of course, we are in Barbados on VOB 92.9 FM. Now, do you think that there's light at the end of the tunnel? We've gone through a lot. Patterson, things are not looking good. We won a test match at the Queen's Park, but generally, ever since we lost this Frank Royal Trophy in 1995, having dominated cricket for 15 years from 1980 to 1995, things have gone downhill. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, the light at the end of the tunnel is not bright. There are flickers. I think we need to have more consistent cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to win more test matches. And if you draw a series, just don't lose. We need to win, mm-hmm. but become have more consistent performances.
Mm-hmm.
When you have consistency, then you will start to see mm-hmm. improvement. Then you can go to win every game, attempt to win every game. I don't think we attempt to win every game.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the captain is trying. If it is, in my opinion, somewhat conservative. And most bowling captains are conservative because they think of the runs on board. They don't want runs against the bowling statistics. So I think we have to encourage Jason to experiment some more. We also need to give him the particular team to play with on the particular surface as well. I think we need to find a way to get our spinners involved in the cricket again. The spinners are a big deal in cricket now. We need to get spinners back involved. I do agree with Philo that Shannon Gabriel is showing mm-hmm. his worth, given the opportunity to show his worth. I think he's doing very well. I'm glad to see Kamara Roach is there. Miguel may have struggled a little bit, but we still have to stick with him.
Mm.
Also, give these guys a good run and so they can show their talent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go and take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Good evening, Mr. Mason. Just good evening to your guest as well.
Good evening to you.
I'm calling from Trinidad.
Okay, good.
Mr. Mason, when you were here, I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to see you on that fateful Saturday when the game changed and it was only a matter of time before we won.
Mm-hmm.
I like to agree with Darren Ganger that I think Jason Holder, a wonderful person who I met and spoke with my children and he gave them inspiration, is a bit too defensive and conservative with his cricket. I think we had Sri Lanka to hang on this Saturday, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, he failed to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As regards with what Mr. Patterson, what Patterson just said there, I would like him to take a page out of the American playbook, that is to say, pertaining to the various sports stars of various leagues, whether it be baseball, basketball, where there are fan forums. Those persons that he named, if they were to tour the Caribbean and be able to speak to the fans directly, mm-hmm. after a while, the West Indies Cricket Board will have no choice but to come to these gentlemen and speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you have the public behind you, there's no telling where you can take things.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I did notice from the Trinidad perspective, and I hope it was not repeated in St. Lucia,
mm-hmm.
and I hope it will not be repeated at Bridgetown. I sent my children to the cricket,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me a figure as to how much it is to get in, which was $100 TT, which is equivalent to almost $40 major and about $52 EC.
Mm-hmm.
So the prices are consistent throughout the region. And I do agree with you, it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But for the small man, and the sad thing, as you know, you were there, mm-hmm. everybody fits in one stand.
That's right.
Open up this pilot eye, sell it cheap. If they were charging 40 TT, you would have gotten, let's say, twice or even three times the amount of people there.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did notice, which is a bit upsetting, my children told me it was $100 TT. So I handed the lady at the counter $100
mm-hmm.
TT. And she told me $20 more. I argued with her, but who am I to argue? I'm a patron. So I paid the money.
Mm-hmm.
When I took my children's tickets, they were children, of course, their tickets marked complimentary and they paid $100 each,
mm-hmm.
while my ticket had the price on it.
Sounds like you encountered a scalper.
No, here's the sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
That did not purchase on the scalpers outside.
That's
okay.
Right.
Very sad.
I went inside and she stood behind an iron a very heavy glass piece, mm-hmm. and I handed my money to the slot.
Mm.
And here it is, my children receive complimentary tickets, which I still have in my possession. And I had my ticket that said clearly $120 TT.
Mm.
And this is very frightening. I mean, it reeks of dishonesty. Is it dishonesty on the individual's part, or is it dishonesty in collusion with either the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board or the West Indies Cricket Board?
Mm.
Mm. And it leaves you, leaves one scratching their head.
Mm.
Because you ask us to purchase tickets on the genuine article, so we bypass the scalpers on the outside, and when we go inside, we are faced with being scalped in a different way.
That's quite sad, though, because complimentary tickets are not supposed to be sold.
Exactly.
The tickets that has to be sold has a, must have a price tag attached to it.
Yes. Yes.
So obviously and something happened on the watch.
I have the tickets in my possession.
I think you should, I think you should take that issue with Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board and see if they can seek recommendation, seek advice from Cricket West Indies.
It's a waste of time.
But,
a waste of time.
But do you think the boycott had something to do with the you know, the number of patrons who entered, or was it just an economic thing? What do you think caused the poor turnout?
It was mostly economic, because I'm a cricket fan. And the sad and unfortunate thing is that when we go, my sons and I, when we go and sit down in the Oval, it's always in the same section, same area, and we see the same faces around us.
Yeah, I know what that's.
That's what this cricket has come to.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is that I've never been to St. Lucia, I've never been to Jamaica, I've never been to Guyana, I've never been to Antigua, and I've never been to Kensington to watch a cricket match in Barbados. I'm certain that if I were to transition myself to any of those places, I'll end up with the same result. Yeah, the
same thing happened.
Mm. Yeah. I'm sure persons listening to us throughout the Caribbean can say if you go to Grenada, St. Vincent, you would see the same people in the same spot and the same amount of people as that. Mm-hmm. What I detest is that I'm an old school person. Mm. I detest this Pakistan loud noise, DJ blaring at the end of every over nonsense. That's why I don't go to, I try to avoid the CPL game, because I'm going to watch cricket, not to party. I'm too old to party. I've been partying since I've been a teenager, and those days are long gone past me.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the captaincy issue, Jason's a young guy, but I can see some development in Jason's captaincy. For most of the Trinidad test, he had some attacking fields. But one thing you notice about the Trinidad test and about the test at the Darren Sammy Stadium, there were days when the bowling attack just wasn't really clicking on all cylinders. And there were the days that Sri Lanka fought back. We could say that the Sri Lankans batted better for sections, but there were times when the West Indian bowling attack didn't fire. We had wickets, often no balls, maybe like three in this last match, and we also had some drop catches. You know, even the captain was dropped on 14 and made over 100 more runs. So there were some critical errors in the field that could be corrected, which would have made the captain look better.
Mm.
So sometimes these things have an influence on decision making.
Mm.
So you know, when a captain does things and it looks good, he looks like a genius. But of course, when things don't go well, the captain could look like a dummy.
Mm.
I think your former prime minister said it best.
Which one?
The last one who was swept.
Oh,
no, he was right.
That success has many, many, many parents.
Mm.
But failure.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you take the mantle on of captaincy.
Mm.
That you have to receive the praises when they are due, and you have others hanging around asking for to blend in the bask in their glory as well. And when you're out on a limb, and it's all fingers point at you as the person who has caused the downfall. But I must say this, and I have to say this publicly.
Mm.
Jason Holder is one of the nicest cricketers I've ever met.
Mm.
I cannot take that away from the young man. Because long before he was chosen as captain, my children, like I said, when there's a cricket match, we take the time, I leave my business place, my place of work, and I go to the Oval, and I let them have an interaction with these cricketers. And Jason took his time to speak with them. And this was long before he was captain. Mm-hmm. And now he's captain. I'm happy for the young man. Another young man, which I must give praise to, is one Devendra Bishu. Mm-hmm. Because during that same time he went there, he poured his heart out to mm-hmm. my children and myself.
Right.
He spoke of being an orphan and just he and his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he, Devendra Bishu, when I hear Devendra Bishu gets called up for the West Indies, the three of us shed a tear.
Mm-hmm.
Because if anyone were to take the time out to know the struggle that he went through, and at that time he was going through a slump. And his aim back then when he spoke to us was to get back into the West Indies team. And when he got back into the West Indies team was to stay there
mm-hmm.
and not be. And this is what I was saying to earlier about Patterson. The American sports stars, they have autograph sessions. I am saying do a tour of the Caribbean, because the thing about it is that I tell my children about stories of going to the Oval on that day back in 1983-85, to that area when this fellow Robin Singh, born in Trinidad, came from India, played for India. And Viv Richards took his wicket for 5 runs. And I still remember that. And we're talking about nearly 30 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
These stories, if we can have the old stagers hold the hands of the young fans
mm-hmm.
and regale them with their stories of success and failure, the beautiful thing about it would create that bond between old West Indies and new West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
And what is unfortunate now is that there isn't that bond, because people don't know who Ian Bishop is, except for those who listen to cricket.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know who Gordon Grinage is.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know Desmond Haynes. When these men helped made us hold our heads up proudly back in the 70s and 80s,
mm-hmm.
that we were the first nation to win 2 World Cups. And who's honoring Bernard Julian? For a time, Bernard Julian coached my children's school. And the thing about it is that we must make way for these stars of yesteryear
mm-hmm.
and get them involved, those who wish to do so, and keep them alive and let the public know about their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Even to go so far as to go into a publishing house, and whether it be the form of an actual autobiography or even a comic book telling them of their tales.
Well, Colin,
mm-hmm. yes.
Well, I just want to thank you because we got to go on. I know you've been calling from Trinidad, but
I appreciate it.
No problem at all. Keep listening to the show, and we got to hear now from Roland Holder, who's in Barbados, and we want to hear from him as well. But we want to thank you for coming through and talking with us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. All right, Roland. Good evening to you.
Hi. Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Everything is on track. For Saturday?
So far, yeah.
Mm, any concerns?
The teams arrived today.
Mm-hmm.
They're all settled into the hotel, so just to see what the Oval is like.
Mm. Any concerns?
No. Nothing that we can control, so everything is fine.
Everything is fine. Did you have a chance to see the pitch, Kensington?
No, I haven't been down to the Oval yet. My first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Oval will be tomorrow.
Good. And what's your feeling in terms of the crowd? You expect a good turnout at Kensington?
Hard to tell, Andrew. Historically, Test cricket in recent times hasn't drawn large audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the novelty of the day night think World Test
mm-hmm.
might have been out a few additional people, but mm-hmm. To be quite honest, it's very difficult to judge.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, there's been a bit of concern about the fees in terms of payment. Some people reckon that it could be a little cheaper. Have you heard that as well?
No, only arrived in today. Haven't heard that, but I'm sure there's everything in Barbados people wish for cheaper.
So, Roland, this is the 90th year of West Indies playing Test match cricket,
mm-hmm.
and we are having that pick ball.
Well,
the first. Sorry, Roland, and we're having that first ever
mm-hmm.
day night Test match at Kensington Oval. And I think that the 90th year
mm.
West Indies playing Test match cricket is significant to this Test match.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to ask, what is your feeling on what you've saw so far in the two Test matches
right.
between these two sides? Number 9 ranked West
mm-hmm.
Indies
mm-hmm.
and number 6 ranked Sri Lanka.
For me, the Test series has been a very exciting one, as I think most people agree.
Mm-hmm.
There have been several. That is Test cricket between what I consider to be two very evenly matched sides. That is my estimation of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is who plays better on the day, who takes the opportunities, who is tactically superior on the day, because there isn't much between the two sides. So far, the cricket has its twists and turns. There have been some very encouraging performances from both sides, but more so, I would think, people like Shannon Gabriel coming into his own, getting 13 wickets in the test match in Lucia. Prior to that, doing very well in Trinidad. We have young Shane Durridge, who got a century in the first test. Those are all the positives. He's bowling up Kemar Roach. On the perhaps the negative side is, for me, a bit of concern of about the top order. We're getting starts. Very few are going on. Converting to big scores. So unless that problem is rectified, we're going to find ourselves five down, and into the all-rounders with 150, 160, 170 answers.
Well, you mentioned the top order. Obviously, we saw Shea Hope got struck in the rib area, and he was battling with some discomfort. How fit is he? If you can shed, if you know at all. And what is your opinion?
Sorry, Salo. Well, it's not my area. I can't address the fitness on such thing.
How serious was that?
That I did see him today. I did see him today moving around. So he's here in Barbados, and he's still in the team. So clearly there is no massive follow.
Okay. Good night, Roland. Pearson here. How are you doing?
Hi, Pearson.
Yeah. Very interesting words you use about being an exciting test series. You know what's the sad thing about this? And this has nothing to do with you, by the way. I'm just making a comment because you made the comment about being exciting. The people can't see it unless they have a computer, a laptop. They can't even hear the cricket commentary. That's just in a comment. You can hear it and then you need not to have heard it. Anyway.
So you ask him a question.
Not asking Roland because I'm not putting him, that's not, again, anything to do with Roland, but he made a comment of it being exciting. I'm thinking there are a lot of people moving around, especially those old people, but no, that's the people who are senior, I don't need the word, who have given a lot to the spectatorship of West Indies cricket for years, and they are asking you as you move around, and you're going to the city and the areas, anybody hear the score? What's the score? You can't see the cricket, you can't hear it on radio. Now, anyway, I know that VOB will address
but
that.
Don't you want Roland to come?
No, I do not want to comment because it's not his area and he works for Cricket West Indies. I do not want to comment. The comment should be addressed to whoever is in charge of that area. I'm not doing that. That there's operational aspects of corporate entities that you must respect. Therefore, I'm just making that comment. Now, let's go on. I agree with Roland that you're not going to get spectatorship at the level that you would want at this juncture of West Indies cricket because we have been failing forward and people tend to follow leaders. But I believe also one of the things that you see in the Caribbean, whenever there is viewership of a test series, you see the little boys in the street playing cricket again and on the beach and so on. So if you're not seeing it, if you're not seeing Dowridge's century in Trinidad, why would you want to rush to Kensington to watch Dowridge? Because you're not seeing the visual impact. We must look at these things, right, as Caribbean people. And Cricket West Indies.
Is that a question for Roland?
No, it's not a question for Roland. Cricket West Indies must look at it. No, he does not deal with marketing. He does not deal with fulfilling marketing contracts and all the nuances of those contracts. So that's not
you feel your pain there.
I can watch the cricket, but I'm looking at the persons who are constantly asking you, and there are lots of them every day, what's happening in the cricket.
But okay, Ronald, can I ask you a question? Are you concerned that we're not able to see or hear the cricket?
To be quite honest, Andrew, this is the first time hearing of it, probably because I'm able to see it and watch it. Generally, remember, I wasn't in St. Lucia for the second test, but I was able to watch it on Willow Cricket in Antigua. I was in Trinidad for the first test, and as is normal, the cricket isn't shown in the home territory, so I wouldn't have been able to see it in Trinidad. But I was in Antigua, and I was able to see it on Willow Cricket. So were other people in that island. Maybe I the suppliers don't have solar cricket in Barbados, the networks, the television stations.
Can I interject, Roland?
I'm showing it.
Can I interject?
Sure.
It's the first time in Barbados since there's been televised home series. I think the first was in 1990, correct me if I'm wrong, England versus USA, that we have not seen free-to-air test cricket in Barbados. And I believe in the Caribbean, that is expressed through the Caribbean. Watching it via the net, which people can do by streaming through their phones and on laptops and the desktops, it's fine, okay? Everybody knew that was always available. What have been taken away from the 80-year-old man who doesn't have a computer and never saw one, let alone go on one, and the man who's retired, and the females who watch cricket over the years, that they can't see it for the air.
Yeah. You need a man
who's taking it away from them.
Well, I don't know that. That's the question, because I'm sure that there has to be some contractual arrangements that dictate that. And who would have been the person putting that contractual arrangement in place? I don't know. I believe Cricket West Indies must have had some hand in that regard.
Yeah, I think Patterson wants to comment on this.
Hey, Roland, just to take the spotlight.
Oh, hi, Maddox.
Hey, Roland, how are you? Don't forget you're the captain of the Barbados Legends team on Thursday, okay? Remember that?
I was hoping you would remind me of that.
Yes, you're the captain and you're expected.
I didn't show on life?
No, being streamed live.
Is that being broadcast? Is that being
broadcast? It's going to be live streamed. In terms of broadcast on TV, no, Roland.
You can't even see the test games like on cricket. Yeah. In his live video.
Yeah.
You know that. You know you're not seeing the streaming either. You can see the interviews after the game. The stream.
Yeah, that is because, and it's normal with all our test series from time immemorial. In this case, it's Sony IMG has the contract to broadcast. So even, for example, a local TV station wherever you are can't come into the stadium and broadcast from there. You would have to get the feed from the supplier.
I see.
Okay. Roland,
that has always been the case. Yeah, Paro.
From a batsman of your caliber, watching.
I get very concerned when you said from a batsman. That's all you were going to say when you were a batsman.
No, that would have been an impersonation of a batsman.
Yeah.
Certainly from your perspective, I remember seeing you and Philo and Sherwin, Floyd, Adrian Griffith, hunger, the willingness to stand up and bat balls. And take the team on your shoulder as a captain, as a senior batsman.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen that, but these guys have played quite a few test matches. I'm asking you, from your perspective, what you think is missing? What is the ingredient that is missing that you all had back in the day that is not apparent, that's not here now?
Mm-hmm.
Pato, I'm actually not quite sure you're correct. I think a lot of these players are still very hungry. You look at young Shea Hope, you look at Shane Dowridge, you look at Jason. You look at Craig, in terms of hunger, you look at Craig as a batsman. You cannot deny his appetite for scoring runs. If you look at his last inning, clearly he dropped anchor and took the responsibility of batting out the day or trying to bat out the day. So I'm not quite sure you can say that there isn't that hunger and that drive.
Or maybe a production then. If you
the skill set is different.
I think we'd have to go back a bit further than the ilk of some of the people you mentioned to really get into the players that dominated and did things. But I don't for one second believe that there's a West Indian player that puts on a blazer that doesn't try his best or her best. But of course it has to do with the who your opposition and the strength at the time. But I can say that personally I see something in these guys that they play better together, there's better camaraderie, and I see fight. And I don't see a team that just gets bundled out. You know, I was watching Sky the other day and watched us get bowled out for 46 and Brian Lara sitting in the pavilion gesticulating, wondering what had happened, and it was a team that was much more talented, and you know, Chander Paul, Sarwan, Gale, you know, and a much better team. But this is a team that can be five down with a keeper batting at six and can still extend the match and make a good score, like we saw in the first test in Trinidad. So the things that this young team has achieved, I think we have to really put it in perspective with the 20 years of failure that we've had and realize that the team hasn't been doing badly. And with guys in their 20s and, mm-hmm. and maybe just a few at 30, like Bishu and mm-hmm. and Devin Smith at 36, mm-hmm. That, you know, we can see a trajectory and a development in them that, that mm-hmm. gives us some hope. And I think definitely the opening pair hasn't done well. We saw that both openers who have been struggling have scored a had a score, but definitely we need to see more. And this third test will define the what happens in the careers for Devin Smith for sure. And you know, if we should continue that experiment, and mm-hmm. certainly it will. Mm-hmm. We have to see what happens with even Hope, who hasn't had the type of series we would expect, and some of the other members of the batting crew.
What about Cummins?
Well, Cummins was unlucky. I mean, I think Cummins didn't bowl badly the first test. He was getting the ball to seam away, and he was getting some steepling bounce. In the second test, he had the captain out at 14 and was unfortunately dropped by Devin Smith at second slip. And I think things like that can really do something to a player. You saw the disappointment. But I wouldn't say that when you look at the commie rates of the bowling attack, you can't say that the guys have been bowling badly. Of course, if you only take 2 wickets and you look at the average, it's going to be bad. Mm. But from an economy standpoint, no one has gotten away. It was just Bishu had a bad few overs in this second match. But as a bowling unit, the bowling has done pretty well. And you will see that by looking at if you looked at the averages for Sri Lanka, we haven't been doing badly. Our problem has been catching and no balls when we're in the team.
All right. Roland, we want to thank you. Any final words before you? I know you've got a lot of work to do before Saturday. Any final words?
Well, I don't know how Saturday is going to go. Because Patterson has me playing this game on Thursday. Saturday can be distinct challenges.
All the same age.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming and talking to us. All right.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Okay. Let's go and... of course, do you have a call? Oh. Okay, well, let's pause for business calls. Hello, Fazi, how are you?
Not too bad, Andrew.
Missing in action.
You've been missing action like Chandima.
Yes, he's going to probably be missing a lot more action than just that final test match, apparently.
Are you surprised by all of this?
Not at all. The only thing that is interesting about it is that the issue that has come up, which is basically ball tampering, has been going on involving almost every team and everywhere. And it's always interesting. And in fact, on the Cricket Info website, there's a very interesting article by one of the journalists working at Cricket Info who highlights the fact that when it comes to people being actually caught ball tampering, it's always the visiting team that is caught. So it's interesting.
But are these fellows learning from what happened recently with Australia?
I don't think so. I think people feel they can get away with things because many people have gotten away with it. Understand what has been going on, the South Africans, they've been doing it quite regularly. The Australians obviously have been caught. We've had situations where the Sri Lankans have been caught before. It's generally felt that everyone engages in some form of ball tampering. I think what basically happens is that if you are a visiting team, you have to expect extra scrutiny from the television cameras because there's always that apparent desire to catch somebody ball tampering, and the broadcasters don't want to catch one of the home teams because they could lose their contract to broadcast the cricket.
That's true. But do you think Chandimal is going to be in trouble, even further back in Sri Lanka?
I think he's going to be in major trouble.
I think he's going to lose his job.
Not just the issue of him being found guilty of ball tampering, for which he's going to miss the upcoming test match, but the fact that he refused to leave Sri Lanka on the field on Saturday, he now faces a charge of bringing the game into disrepute, which could see him missing as many as 4 test matches to come.
Quick, on the question of visiting teams, I'm probably not remembering correctly, but you tend to remember these things. Wasn't an English player or captain also accused of having some things in his pocket?
At home?
Mike Atherton, he had dirt in his pocket, right. And he was caught on camera.
At home, right. So that was not only visiting teams. My point I'm making is that when they were looking at visiting teams,
the other nations were a home playing team.
That happened before the ICC
started
penalties for ball tampering, because at that time there was no penalty. He was basically caught on camera, and he was called upon by some in the media to resign as captain. He refused to do so. But what I'm speaking about is, since the penalty for ball tampering was introduced by the ICC, no home player has ever been prosecuted.
Mm. Now, Fazer Bacchanal in Trinidad and Tobago, what's happened to Dennis Ramnerai? He's been fired.
Yes, he has. He's been fired.
And,
there's a lot of speculation as to what would be the reason for him being fired, but it's nothing new, Andrew. If you ever had the time to follow all the Bacchanal that goes on in the sporting environment in Trinidad and Tobago, especially what is known as the sport company of Trinidad and Tobago, the former sports minister, Anil Roberts, got himself in some serious hot water over the sports company and the funding and where the funding went. And while we're not too clear on exactly what would be the circumstances as to why Ramnarayan has been replaced, there's been all sorts of rumblings in the background about management style and about the way the things have been done at the sports company, whether he is directly implicated or not. The fact is, he's been fired.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Yeah, are you going to represent him?
No, I don't represent Dennis Ramnarayan, Andrew. I just want to say good evening, Fazer. I think that Ramnarayan, obviously being a former president of FIFA, should have known better. He took up that chairmanship of the sports company. You know, we know Ramnarayan already, very robust, of wants to lead from the front. And he kept withholding funds from the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board.
Oh, I see.
And there was a change in ministers.
Mm.
The former Minister of Tourism, Sham Fakujo, she's now the Minister of Sport. And she had meetings with the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board. And they laid their complaint to her.
Okay.
And she obviously seek advice and recommendations, and they came back to her, and she took it to Cabinet, and Cabinet fired him.
Okay.
So it's no joke fire. It's a serious fire from the top. So it is sad, as a former West Indies cricketer who has been in two very important positions, that he stepped down from WIPA, and he's now lost his, you know, the sports company position as well. So it's quite sad around the Ryan's part. And he will have to reflect on his style as well if he wants to get into management game of any kind of sports.
But wasn't there some sort of conflict being in that position, also wanting to
he has the
cricket association.
He has the Trinidad Tobago Cricket Board in court. That's why they can't have general elections, because there's something about the constitution. He wants a one man, one vote system, which does not exist. And that has stopped Trinidad Tobago Cricket Board from having a general election. So those guys have not had an AGM for over 2 years. So the board is just there, and everything is back up in the court. And then my good friend Zaire Ali, who's also a former West Indies under 15 captain, he's now a lawyer, he's also in the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service. He's been fighting tooth and nail to try and get some clarity and a resolution on the whole issue. And Ramnarayan just sits there. But now he has time now to obviously proceed now with the court matter.
Fazer, were you surprised that Ramnarayan was fired?
As you just pointed out, you old fellas don't need me again. You all have your own Trinidad and Tobago correspondent right here.
Oh, finally. It's so nice to hear you. I saw you last week and I felt good.
But you're right. I mean, the situation with Ramnarayan, it was really untenable. And all that is going on, and from what I understand, there's a lot more that has gone on as far as the management or the mismanagement of the sports company, but of course you have to be careful what you say
in
the public airways for fear of attracting the sort of legal action which fellow will happily represent.
Indeed. As we look forward quickly, I know time is running. The third test, you expect the West Indies to. I thought they were saved by the rain in St. Lucia. I think that thank God for the rain. What about Barbados? You reckon they can win the series?
I think it's going to be an open match. It could go either way. And you're probably right. And maybe even the Sri Lankans are regretting the 2 hours that they lost by refusing to go onto the field. It's always a bit of an assumption that we assume that they might have advanced the game with those 2 hours. You never know what could have happened. But yes, it was raining yesterday. And I think it's something that we in the Caribbean need to look at seriously, Andrew. The fact is that the following the action yesterday, the rain had stopped, but it takes so long to get the water off the covers that time was lost. It worked out in favor of the West Indies, and the West Indies remained 1-0 up, and certainly Shannon Gabriel's fast bowling effort is something
worthy of the very highest praise. But I think it really sets up that test match starting on Saturday. And I certainly hope, and this is something that is a bit of a concern to me, I certainly hope that Cricket West Indies is going to mark the occasion as it is deserving, because it's not just the first ever day-night test match to be played in the Caribbean. Saturday, June the 23rd, makes it exactly 90 years since the West Indies team walked onto the field at Lord's in London for the first day of official test cricket. I would be very, very disappointed, although maybe not surprised, if it is that it's just going to go by unnoticed, the 90th anniversary of the West Indies as a test-playing entity.
So, Jose, thanks for coming through and talking to us. We'll certainly talk to you again very soon.
Okay.
Thank you very much indeed, Fazir. Gentlemen, time is tight. Any concerns, fellow, as we go into the third test?
I know that. Well, obviously, Andrew, you look at it, the opening combination has been, not as productive as we expected. Obviously, Craig has come good in that last test match by holding Fort, dropping anchor. But can he do it in a day-night test match where the ball is going to do a bit more? We saw once the ball is bouncing the seam in, and the Windies batsmen are still betwixt and between. So that opening pair, we'll have to obviously sort it out in this test match. We look at Paul Willock again at number three. He looks very good in that second innings in Trinidad, but then he comes into St. Lucia and he gets some soft against the run of play. Sheer Hope is a big concern to me because I'm seeing a little bit of apprehension in his technique. And the Sri Lankans have worked him out. There's a man called Lakmal that's not getting any recognition. We're looking at Kumar all the time, but Lakmal is going to apply a lot of pressure and he's nipping the ball back with pace and bounce. And he's caused a lot of concern, particularly for Sheer Hope. I was really disappointed, Ross, in his dismissal in St. Lucia. You can't be 6 feet tall and play half cock. You've got to be either well back or well forward. And I will say this publicly, I express it to Ralston, even in Trinidad the other day, use a long blade back. You're standing too short for a tall man. And if you don't work out the sense, when the ball gets big on you, all you can do is block it by pushing your hand out and shifting your head. And that's why he's flinching at the short ball, because he's batting so low as a tall man. When the ball gets big on him, the first thing he does, he goes defensive. So his head goes away, he pushes his hand. And he is being caught up in that area all the time. And that is something he needs to work at. I told him in Trinidad, ask your batsman, let's send one long blade back and try it in the nets. And tell me if you feel a difference. But try it. If you don't try it, and we get the other top teams coming, he's going to be in trouble. Pearson said it. The guys are going to bowl short balls at us.
Phil, do you expect any changes to the side?
Well, obviously, Keenan Paul is in. There's a big cloud over Miguel Cummins. I think he fights to compete with the other three fast bowlers, and that is why his figures reflect what they reflect. He's played two matches, and his bowling figures are what? He has just about 3 wickets in 2 matches. He bowls 56 overs. So he's not been really potent as expected. So the Keenan Paul coming in, and there's a big cry for Keenan Paul. A lot of people obviously believe that he will play. And plus, he adds to the batting as well, because he's a good batsman. And he swings the ball. So we're playing a day and night test match. You have to remember that ball in that twilight, that ball starts to swing around. But to me and Joe, I would stick with the same 11. But if Keenan Paul comes in at the expense of Cummins, I just want them to win the test.
I will
leave Devon McCraig at the top. I don't see you can do too much. You can't shift too much there.
Would it be a career-defining test for Devon?
You think so?
This match?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
He will play against Mangalas. No matter what he does. In other words, if he has an abysmal match, do you still believe that he will go on to play against Mangalas?
Our team has just been all up for 300 and 100. I would give him the 5 test matches against in the region. Okay. And we are going to India next. Sorry, but I would give him the 5 games and let him prove himself. If he cannot prove himself in 5 test matches, well, Crafo smoke your pipe.
Alison, what do you think?
I think advantage to West Indies, definitely in Barbados. I agree with Philo too. I would not change the theme. Devon Smith has had a checkered career. He's had a lot of opportunities. It's just say it out. Now, if he doesn't perform in the next 2 or 3 test matches, well, you have a reason to bring another player. We are advantage to us. Same team going to Barbados. I think it's going to advantage West Indies, but the Sri Lankan fast bowlers, if they get that wicket first, it's going to be a hassle. I would hope that West Indies win the toss and we bowl at them first. Right? And just to remember the listening public, the West Indies Retired Players Foundation game, UWI campus, Thursday, 21st, starting at 7 p.m., please.
Give us some of the names of the people playing.
Well, there's Roland Holder, Philo, Kieran Campbell.
Holder's the captain?
Roland Holder's the captain.
Mm-hmm. This is Roland and not Jason.
Roland Holder, Philo Wallace, Sharon Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Dale Richards' father passed away. Condolences to him. Condolences to him last night. I have Felton Payne playing.
Oh, good old Telly.
Basper Drakes,
mm-hmm.
Henderson Bryan, Corey Cullimore.
Henderson Bryan.
Mm-hmm. Tino Best.
Good old Tino.
I am trying not to suit up. And actually, Otis Gibson is actually coming in. And I'm hoping that he will play.
Oh, really? Nice.
For the West Indies retired players, Jimmy Adams is the captain, mm-hmm. Raul Lewis, mm-hmm. Ridley Jacobs, Franklin Rose, Nehemiah Perry, Wavell Hines. We have Darnley Joseph, who never played cricket for West Indies. At least he played at the representative level first class matches. He's being honored as the Weeper Lifetime Award
wonderful
this year, so he is going to play.
We know him quite well.
Yeah, we know him quite well.
England. Yeah. He put a whole chicken in the oven, and probably had the oven set for 4 hours, and the temperature is 100. By the time we get back, we have food.
So here's the name that we're
going to have in the game.
And it's on Thursday, starts at what time?
7 p.m. under lights at the UWI campus, Cable campus.
And tomorrow night, you're having the awards at the Hilton, I think. Black tie affair?
Black tie affair.
Yeah, I've been invited, but I don't have a black tie.
I would like to say also, though, that the 90th year of playing test cricket is not being used enough. I think that's a tremendous achievement.
You don't hear a lot about it.
I think that's a missed opportunity. And that day night game is also another tremendous opportunity for us.
Indeed. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming.
Who's the greatest cricketer on earth or Mars? Anyone can tell you it's the great Sobhavish Sobhas. This handsome Bhavishan lad really knows his work. Batting or bowling, he's the cricket king, no joke. Three cheers for Captain Sobhas. Win or lose, the spectators are always pleased. With the greatest team on earth, who else but the West Indies? Men like Butcher, Joe Solomon, Kanaya Davis, and Nelson Rodriguez, Conrad Hunt and White Gibbs, and the wicked keeper Hendricks. Australia, you lost the West Indies, it's lost the trophy. We lost the West. I say you lost it, you know you lost it, yeah? Australia, stick your friend. Australia, don't mind you lost. Better luck next time.
Good night all.